For the second day in a row, I get some good news. Jim McElwain's retirement. Wish him all the best.
Yeah. Congratulations, coach.
All right. Yeah. You preside over three straight losing seasons. I mean, it was time for a change. And for him, you know, I do wish he enjoys his time. I know he likes Montana, where he grew up, spent some time with some family and all that stuff. And my program can finally move on. So they beat Western and we get the change at coach. So, yes, I am a very fired up Chip today, John.
Enjoys fishing.
He does.
He does. He's an outdoorsman. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, he does. Referencing the
shark. Did you see, by the way, he did, I think it was with Barstool, like a fun spoof interview about that. He actually was able to laugh about it. So I actually gained a lot of respect for that, because that's, nobody wants to be compared to the naked guy humping the shark on a boat. But, you know, he ran with it.
I have no idea. And I don't know if I want to know.
You want to see some pictures?
Yeah,
I can visualize. Was it a real shark? Inflatable? Like, what are we talking?
Yes. So you're not going to see any nudity, but you will get an idea of this. It's a man who looks like Central Michigan's head football coach, and he is totally naked.
Oh.
On a boat.
Okay.
With a shark.
A real shark.
John, I'm pretty sure it was a real shark, right?
Yeah. I'm not sure why that would enter anybody's mind
to do that.
But yeah, he did have to answer some questions.
Yes.
Because
that's what it is.
Awesome.
That's not horrendous.
I know that was sarcastic. That was not awesome.
If you want more of a wide shot, there you go.
No, I don't. I was not picturing it like quite like that.
He's straddling the shark for people who can't see. Radio's not a visual medium.
Awesome.
Jim McElwain, he retires. CMU starts their head coaching search, and that concludes our Chippewa football portion of today's show. And the week, unless we're hiring a coach tomorrow.
Hey, they can't let UMass beat him to the punch.
That's right. All right.
Time and time again. Greg, you're on fire this morning.
You really are.
Yeah. Came in ready to roll.
Firing at 6 in the morning. We will get into the Thursday touchdown in a half hour. Some really good questions. Little Lions to mix in the show today. A question about a coworker and the behavior of that coworker in the 7 o'clock hour, plus a chance to win $2,000 with the 2 Grand Slam. John, for the final time in 2024, we can celebrate a Tarek Skubal Day.
Yes. As we should be. I'm sure there were some celebrations around town last night. There will be more today because Tarek Skubal unanimously won the Cy Young Award. We all knew he would. It's just a matter of, would there be any dissenting votes?
Class A didn't even finish second, which was kind of a fun little note there.
Thank you.
But for Skubal, this was a course that he was on from the very first start of the season. We had it in Fact or Fiction this year. Would he win the Cy Young? I mean, the anticipation was he was going to be one of those guys this year. But to his credit, he stuck it out. This is the first full healthy season for him, and everybody got a taste of what he can do.
Yeah, and here's the thing. You're never going to have perfection, right? But he was as good as you're going to find in Major League Baseball. And to watch it throughout the course of the year, there weren't many downs. Sure, he gave up some home runs, and we all know about what happened in the final game of the season. But he was the guy that you could count on almost every single time he took the mound. Like, that's a win. And the Triple Crown winner, it's the 7th time the Triple Crown winner has also been the Cy Young Award winner. And he was just dominant in every facet of the game.
There was a stretch early in the year. Remember, the team wasn't very good. Go back to like May and June. And I was making a case that he should get MVP consideration because he kept the train on the tracks. I mean, to have a guy who can stop the bleeding every 5th day, that was his role early in the year, was to stop the bleeding. His role late in the year was to keep momentum going.
Yeah.
Right. Was to lead from the front. He was the only starting pitcher really for a stretch there in August. His role, the value that he brought, and there's only so much you can do as a guy who pitches every 5th day, but you see the value he brought to this baseball team.
Yeah. For the month of August, after the trade deadline, he was the only one that when you would look for scheduled starters that was on it. It was Skubal, 4 more games with no scheduled starter, and then Skubal, you go right down the list. He was the one that not only kept it on the tracks, but that you could just count on every single time he took the mound to be consistent.
And you saw late in the year the fiery competitiveness of him too, especially as the moments got bigger.
Yeah. I know Tom witnessed the one in Cleveland where, you know, he was there and interacted with the crowd just a little bit. I mean, I know you talked about it at that time, but what was that moment like in Cleveland again?
I still get chills from that. Like, when he turned to the crowd and went, like, all arms completely wide, like, look at, how about that? Uh-huh. Come on. And it's funny because the article I read locally in the paper last night, online, I didn't actually pick up the physical paper.
I don't think you did.
It was from that game. Now, it wasn't quite that shot, but it just brought back the joy of that moment, man. I mean, that was such an electric environment, you guys. I got to see him pitch this year in the regular season as well. It was the only regular season game I actually went to. He is unbelievable. Our seats at the game we went to in Detroit earlier in the season, like, it's night and day, like the other pitchers in terms of the velocity. I don't know how people hit him. I honestly don't. I mean, when what's his face? Who hit the home? Johnson, right? For Cleveland. Hit the homer, the grand slam, and it kind of just broke the seal. Lane Thomas. Yeah, Johnson, Thomas, Jones, whatever. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the only way you hit him is when he makes a mistake. And he's not perfect. Nobody's perfect.
No, but you talk about a guy who can throw 100 miles an hour from the left side. That changeup has become dangerous. The breaking stuff. I mean, he's got 3++ pitches. And when he's dialed in, he's attacking, which is what he did all season. Even the home run he gave up in that playoff game, he was attacking the hitter. He puts you on your heels. It's one of the great seasons. I mean, it's Tigers who have won the Cy Young. It's a very small list, and now he joins that elite group.
And I'm curious as well because there's a lot of great moments for Skubal throughout the course of the year. Some of them very underrated because early on, obviously the Tigers were not a part of any discussion of postseason play. And for me, it's always going to be, Tom, you described it, when he basically challenged and took on the entire Cleveland Stadium.
I mean,
that's my most memorable moment from this season. And I'm curious, is there another one that stands out to everybody? Because he was so consistent throughout the course of the year that's why I think it's really hard to pick out one moment during the regular season. And I'm curious if anybody has one moment in the regular season that stands out as that was the Skubal moment.
He had a big punch out against Kansas City late in September. Maybe it was mid-September. That stands out to me.
They swept him?
Yeah, and it's one of those moments where you go, this is real. They're making the playoffs. I mean,
I remember that. Yeah. And I can tell you this. Like, the cameras always don't pick it up. They go to break, you know. They got baseball has sped up the game and you don't get to see the players' emotions, especially from a pitcher when they're going off the mound as an inning ends. He pitches with attitude. He's fired up. He's almost like the pitching version of guy that likes to do the bat flip in some ways.
Which is good.
He feeds himself. And he even criticized himself after game two a little bit in Cleveland because he said, I think I got a little bit too into it. I need to channel it maybe one notch down.
Didn't he talk about his mom?
Tarek Daniel?
Yeah. He got the full name from his mom.
What he said.
You're in trouble.
What he said, because I remember, he goes, I should have focused it towards our team, not towards the fans, was his only criticism. But he did revel in that moment. And, you know, I think the team did feed off of not only the fact that he could go out and throw 6 shutout innings any start, but that the team fed off of the mentality that Tarek Skubal had. And the only other question I have with it, John, and if people have the memories, we can collect them. What now? He's got 2 more years of team control.
Right.
I think we all want to see him here for the foreseeable future. What is your expectation? Something get done this offseason, or does this drag into next year and beyond?
Well, I mean, so when you're talking about does it drag into next year and beyond?
I think it will, to be clear.
I think it will as well, because you've got 3 different sides. Now, how much control does Skubal have of his agent, Scott Boras? How much does Scott Boras work for him versus Scott Boras telling him what he should do and what he wants, what he should get versus what he will get? And if he wants to stay in Detroit, is he a guy that's just, hey, I don't care where I'm at, I just want to make the most amount of money? So if there's a lot of factors involved, and knowing that all those factors are there, I think it probably goes into next offseason.
Yeah, I'm not really all that anxious I mean, I'd love to see him signed long term. I understand there's a lot that goes into this. Scott Boris is gonna settle for nothing less than the very top of the market, yep. Nor should he, right? If he's doing right by his client, he's going to go, you're Triple Crown Cy Young winner in the prime of your career. You're the ace of your baseball team. Whatever the highest paid pitcher is getting, you're going to get a dollar more, and you're going to get a long-term deal, or we're not signing. And I understand why the Tigers would say, hey, nobody throws 200 innings anymore. We just showed how starting pitching can only go so far. We don't want to put ourselves in a compromising position on an 8 to 10 year deal for an arm that could get blown out at any start. It's a delicate dance.
Right. And that's where I think Derek Skubal himself needs to make sure that Scott Boris works for him. He's had an arm event. And that's the one thing that everybody looks at. And does it mean he's going to have another one? No. But you just never know. And so Scott Boris could tell him, hey, hold out as long as you need to. In fact, if you need to hold out for 2 years, and I say hold out, he'll still be pitching for the Tigers. But hold out on the deal. 2 years is a long time away to get to free agency. And so I do think within the next 2 years, a deal gets done in Detroit. But I don't know that Detroit has to have as much urgency as some people want them to have right now.
With him, he represents kind of this window, right? People have used Turk Skubal as a way to how serious are they? If they said, we don't feel comfortable extending him, it's all the more reason to try to win the next two seasons while you have him. If you feel like last year was a bit of a mirage, we're going to do this more like homegrown player development, we're a couple years away from the Clarks and the McGonagalls, then we get to where we were last year, where there are conversations about trading him. Nobody wants to have those conversations. He becomes such an interesting piece to watch over the next months, years, and beyond.
Yeah. And when we return, I want to explain just a little bit more about why it's important for Derek Skubal to know that Scott Boris works for him.
Yeah, because you have a unique perspective. I mean, listen, you played, you had an agent, you know what this game can be like. We'll get to it next, 97.1.
Hey, the NBA is back, and FanDuel, and America's number one sportsbook, wants you to catch all the action. Right now, FanDuel is giving everyone 3 months of NBA League Pass. All you have to do to catch every tip-off or buzzer beater is place any $5 bet on the NBA to get 3 months of NBA League Pass courtesy of FanDuel. That way you don't have to miss anything of what's going on. Maybe you want to see if they keep winning in Cleveland or it's Wemby's second season. Whatever it is, doesn't matter. If you just want to watch the NBA, visit FanDuel.com/Jansen to make every moment more this season. FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. After 3 month free trial, the full price of League Pass will automatically be charged monthly. Cancel anytime. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Limit one pass per customer. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Derek Skubal, a Triple Crown winner, now a Cy Young winner. Unanimous yesterday, Derek Skubal. Kind of saw this one coming. But John, you brought up the dynamic with his agent this offseason and moving forward. Everybody wants to know, how much longer will we get to enjoy Derek Skubal in Detroit? He's under team control for both next year and the year after.
Well, I think the worry is that nothing gets done. And we get into next season, they don't do anything with the roster, they don't make it better, and we're kind of where we were last year, and then we have to go to the trade deadline and have the same conversation about, and it would increase his value as a trade possibility if he's not under a contract, and you're not trying to unload that.
A contender would get two postseason runs or more.
Oh, yeah. And so all of that is, it's a possibility. But when I talk about Skubal needs to make sure that he knows, and the dynamic of the relationship is Scott Boris works for him. And we use Scott Boris because that's his actual agent. It's anybody that is the agent for the player, because they're obligated when the Tigers make an offer, he's obligated to let Derek Skubal know what that offer is and whether it's good or not. And he can insert his opinion. That's where Derek Skubal needs to make sure that he is educated on what are, you know, the changing conditions in Major League Baseball. And they could be for the player. And he could say, you know what, the way things are changing, yeah, I'm gonna hold out for more. I think there's more on the table. But he also has to be comfortable with his decision. that it's not Scott Boras. And Scott Boras brings one to him and he says, this is way too low. Okay, what does way too low mean? Is it $1 million less a year? Is it $500,000? Are we talking about incentives? Because at some point, Tarek Skubal could tell Scott Boras, I'm comfortable with this offer. I want you to get it done. Take this offer. And now there can be some tweaks and everything and the final details that we always, you know, hear about. But that's where it. Scott Boras is an advisor, but he works for Tarek Skubal. And when Tarek Skubal says, get it done, this is something I'm comfortable with. You may not agree. Something I'm comfortable with. Get it done.
Gerrit Cole, I think, is going to be the deal that people reference. He signed a $324 million deal. It was a 9-year deal. It pays him $36 million. Per season. We've seen pitchers who are making north of 40 per season. I think if I'm Skubal / Scott Boras, that's the marketplace that we're dealing with. And I understand why the Tigers may go, hold on, you've had one healthy season. You didn't throw for 200 innings. No one's throwing 200 innings anymore. Does it make sense to pay the top market for the starting pitching role when we showed last year that starting pitching has never been less valuable? And that's not to say Skubal isn't a phenomenal pitcher, but I think that's part of what's going to take place this offseason is who's right? Well, are the Tigers right that it doesn't make sense to dump 8-10-year deals into guys in their mid-30s at that pitching spot, that starting spot? Well, or is he different, and because you're competing right now, you need to lock him in for a, not just a 2-year run, but a 4- or 5-year run?
Starting pitching does matter.
Yes.
And I think the Tigers are well aware that they were able to do what they did last year with the group effort days because they had an anchor in Tarek Skubal. They understand that starting pitching does still matter. And where it the comfort level of Tarek Skubal, he knows what he went through with the arm event.
Yep.
And are they going to get a discount because he's had that in his past? Everybody has a history. How much does that affect Tarek Skubal's decision? How much does it affect the Tigers' decision?
And I know he says he wants to be here, but I don't think he should take any discounts. This is his career, and he should prioritize his family and his well-being, and I would never hold it against him if he says, I'm not taking a team-friendly deal right now. I'm going to bet on myself. I'm going to ride into next season, unless if he wants to lean on Scott Boras and say, this is right. Super agent, I'll bet on myself and I'll wait. It just creates a little bit of tension.
Oh, sure.
And John, I think that's why this offseason is so pivotal, because it's a tone setter. Did you extend him? Yes or no? And more importantly, what moves were made in concert with that? Was it an offseason where, hey, we couldn't get a deal done with Skubal, but we added two other real legitimate pieces to try to win while we have him? Or is it, we didn't get anything done and we're doing this on the lean side of things? I think this will be an interesting tone setter, what they do with Skubal and what they do around Skubal this offseason.
There's not going to be any discount. The only discount will be if Tarek Skubal says, you know what, this is life-changing money, and I want to take it now to protect myself, my family, any future ancestors that I have, because I don't want to risk another injury.
We've got the Thursday touchdown coming up at 6:35. Heather, let's get to the news.
Yeah, well, it's going to take weeks to finish that investigation into the explosion that rocked that condo complex in Orion Township on Tuesday. Officials say the two people who were taken to the hospital in critical condition are still in the hospital, but they are improving. So that is great news. They also say it's an absolute miracle that there were no fatalities in this explosion, because if you have seen the photos of the aftermath,
it's devastating.
Wild. Yeah. So there are so many people that are now displaced because they have nowhere to live. 18 units in the complex are currently uninhabitable, right? They were damaged that badly. 6 of them completely destroyed.
And we don't know what caused it.
No. So far, the cause of the blast is still being determined. So rumor was, or belief was, that it was a gas leak. Perhaps that is what it is. And they're still working to determine exactly what caused it. But it is just devastating. Central Michigan head football coach Jim McElwain is retiring. The school confirmed the news one day after a victory over their rival Western Michigan. The Chippewas have one game remaining on November 30th in Northern Illinois. He's going to stay on in his role until a new coach is hired. He did release a statement himself saying that he and his wife have cherished every moment of his football journey. Of course, he thanked everybody that he has worked alongside. He called his experience a true privilege. This was his 40th season as a football coach, including past head coaching stops in Florida and Colorado State. So he's done this for quite a long time.
He's a lifer.
Yeah, he was under contract through the 2026 season with a salary of more than $1 million per year. Now a national search for his replacement is underway. One second here. Flip my papers.
Oh.
Yes. Let's see. Oh, two men wanted for attempted murder in Roseville were arrested after a police chase in Detroit Tuesday night. So Michigan State Police said that this pursuit started on the far east side of Detroit just before 10 p.m. after police spotted these guys in a Chrysler 300 and they knew they were wanted for this attempted murder. Attempted to pull these guys over. Of course, they weren't going to stop willingly. Ended up getting out of their car, running on foot. Canine teams were eventually able to track these guys down, and both of them were taken into custody. So good news. Thanksgiving dinner is expected to cost a bit less this year. So according to the latest analysis, the traditional dinner will cost 5% less than last year.
Good.
So yeah, not a lot, but anything
hey, every
is good,
bit counts,
right?
Yeah.
So this year's feast for 10 people came in at $58.08. That's less than $6 per person. It's the second year of a decline, so that's good as well. Hopefully it will just continue to do so. But the turkey prices are really what's happening.
I was going to ask, where is it coming
from?
So
the
from?
Big,
yeah.
The centerpiece of your dinner is that turkey. And
centerpiece of your dinner, eh?
Well, should be, right? The traditional Thanksgiving dinner, yes. They're down 6% turkey prices over last year, so you're really seeing it there. But really, almost everything is down. There is an increase in dinner rolls, and stuffing has gone up, and cranberry prices have went up as well.
So you said the average cost for 10 people is $58?
That's $580
That's what it
total.
Says, yes.
No, it's not 580 total.
For
it's 58 total.
I thought you said per person.
No.
Oh, no, no, no. It's like $6 a person.
$6
I'm like, where,
per person.
I don't know how. Like, I would love to be able to make a Thanksgiving dinner for $58.
Yeah, that feels cheap.
It does. That's what they're looking at.
But
of
I guess
course,
that's the average. So you know.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, you're limiting your sides and
yes, and this
does,
probably
does
doesn't include
dessert.
I believe pumpkin pie with whipped cream was included in this.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, the sales are usually pretty good
yeah.
in terms of that stuff. I mean, you get like a humongous bag of potatoes for like $3.
Yeah, they always put the cans of pumpkin on sale.
Uh-huh.
You're
and
right.
you can get the off-brand.
Yes.
Right? Like
yeah, store-bought.
Yeah, the Kroger brand over the name brand. And you can do it. I don't know. I've never
what
made
do you
a full Thanksgiving dinner.
Heather, on Thanksgiving.
I eat most of the sides. I eat salad, mashed potato. I eat a lot of potatoes. There's always cheesy potatoes, too. I eat.
What do you put on your mashed potatoes?
Ketchup.
Nothing or ketchup. I don't put the ketchup on. I don't put it on the mashed potatoes. It's like a dip.
Oh, I'm so disappointed.
Do you eat stuffing?
No.
Why?
To whatever potato ends up on your plate, I am so sorry.
But they're all eaten. I mean, I
potato
eat
abuse.
Everything. No. Green beans?
Green beans, sure. Green bean casserole?
I save room for pumpkin pie.
Oh, yeah. Got to.
I don't like sweet potato. Well, I like the marshmallow off the top.
Okay.
Nasty.
Heather with the news. Coming up next, the Thursday touchdown. It's 97.1. All right, let's see what Tom's got cooked up over there. Thursday touchdown.
All right, I thought you guys had a great conversation yesterday about the college football playoff and just all the dynamics of this new thing that we're still getting our heads around. So you talked about it yesterday, and the rankings came out in terms of automatic bids, seeding, conference championship games, and all that stuff, and how this all meshes together. If you could make one change to the college football playoff, what would it be and why?
I'll be consistent with what I said yesterday. I'd get rid of auto bids. The problem with that, and I understand it, is you devalue conference champions and that conference championship game. Now, teams will still need to win it if they hope to get a bid. I just don't like saying, you know, for these five conferences, you automatically get a seat at the table. And along with auto bids, I would take away auto seating. But that gives me two changes.
and that's okay. So Big 12, would you leave them out potentially this year?
Potentially, but
so if Colorado beats BYU,
And I don't think Colorado. Well, I don't think Colorado would belong, and that's where you look at if there's a two loss team. Let's just say Indy or Ohio State beats Oregon. All right, now you got one loss teams. If you had a two loss team playing against Oregon, Oregon loses. Do you? There's just too many variables in there. I just don't like auto bids, auto seeding.
So yeah, there's a lot of premature belly aching. I actually think the system is pretty good right now. But if you wanted one tweak, I would keep auto bids, but I would get rid of auto buys. In other words,
right, the auto seeding.
Yeah. So you're not guaranteed the 3 seed just because you win the ACC or the Big 12. Right. You may be the very last team in. I'll let you be in, but you got to play the toughest teams, the toughest route. Because I do think it gets squirrely, not just the first round, but even the second round with the bye weeks in the current system.
I think reseeding is going to happen minimally within a couple years. It's just a foregone conclusion. Once this thing plays out 2 years, we'll have it within year three. All right, if Colorado wins out, they will make the college football playoff. If that happens, should the Buffaloes get a bye over Boise State, who currently holds that last bye?
So Colorado would have 2 losses and only 1 win against the current playoff top 25. Boise State would only have 1 loss. I would give it to Boise on merit. Now, if BYU or Arizona State win the Big 12, I think they leapfrog Boise State.
Yeah, I agree. If it's Colorado, Boise State should get the bye. You can say whatever you want about their schedule. When they played Oregon, who was a top 10 team at the time, ranked 7 at the time, they lost in a field goal in the final seconds of that game. I thought that, they can only play the schedule that's been given them, much like Indiana.
Ben Johnson is going to be highly sought after as a head coach after this season. If Johnson leaves the Lions, what's the best coaching fit for him?
So when you start thinking about coaching fit, you got to think about ownership, general manager, you got to think all of it. And there's no perfect situation. These teams are bad, and a lot of times for a reason. In terms of personnel and roster, I would say Jacksonville is a flat-out home run. As long as they put a GM in place that is Brad Holmes-esque.
One of those is out there?
Yeah, I don't know. That's always the gamble. But you've got Josh Hines-Allen. You've got Trayvon Walker. You've got a good class of receivers. Some of them are banged up right now. But it's the fact that you have Trevor Lawrence, who a lot of people think is underperforming. Is it him or is it coaching? We've seen what Ben Johnson can do with Jared Goff. Could he do something similar with somebody that has more inherent skill?
So, yeah, I mean, listen, these all are flawed teams. I see the case for Jacksonville. I'd make the case for Chicago. Number 1 overall pick at quarterback, needs leadership and guidance offensively. He's on the rookie deal. Poles, the general manager, has done a decent job outfitting the roster around him. They need a coach. They need a leader. It could be Ben Johnson.
Do you think Caleb Williams ultimately could be better than Trevor Lawrence?
Could be. And I think that's part of the math there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I absolutely disagree 100% with you, Jim. I don't think Caleb Williams is going to be a franchise quarterback. I don't.
We could say that about Trevor Lawrence right now, and you're saddled with his lousy contract. So God bless.
I think Caleb's so bad he might not get another contract, and Ben Johnson will be on the streets in 3 years.
Could be.
To me, I'm not defending Trevor Lawrence. He has not performed to expectations here, but the night and day difference between what he's done on a football field and what Caleb Williams has done is insanity. I just don't get Caleb Williams has completely screwed the Chicago Bears this year with his
performance. I think that's a little harsh to throw the rookie quarterback.
Oh, he's supposed to be a star and lead him to the Super Bowl, according to some people.
And we acknowledge that was always ridiculous. So let's not cancel his career halfway through his rookie season.
I'm not going to cancel his career, but I see more potential still in Trevor Lawrence than I do in Caleb Williams.
I just think Caleb Williams can't shake the things he did in college. That's it. You are who you are. All right, when it comes to individual awards, there's been a lot of talk about Jared Goff's MVP candidacy. We're getting little to no talk about Dan Campbell being the coach of the year. Who is more deserving of an award, Goff or Campbell?
To me, it's Dan Campbell. I mean, they're pacing to win 15 or more football games. That's the coach of the year to me. It's Dan Campbell.
I tend to agree. The only thing I think is going to be the competition. Sean McDermott, I think, is right now, when you lose a large part of your roster And you're probably talking about the same discussion with Josh Allen, Jared Goff, and it's Sean McDermott and Dan Campbell. But I think Dan Campbell, when you lose as many of your stud players, and mainly your number one defensive player, but they've lost, I mean, just think about it. Hutch, now Anzalone, J-Mo for a couple of games, the way he handled that situation, Barnes, Davenport, Jalen Reeves-Maven, Kaminsky. Like, they have been able to stay the course, and a lot of that has to be attributed to Dan Campbell's leadership.
Right. Now, if the Lions finish out this regular season and get to the Super Bowl, how do we get into a situation where Dan Campbell never wins Coach of the Year during this, you know, process?
Because you're saying the success will be held against them. It's expected at some point, and then he'll never get the credit.
He probably should have won it last year in hindsight.
Debatable. Yes, yes.
All right, we all agree that the Lions are the best team in the NFL right now. What team do you think matches up best against the Lions?
Honestly, it's probably the most surprising team for me. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's their defense. And I don't know. I think if Detroit gets into a shootout with any team, and it could be Buffalo, it could be Kansas City, it could be anybody, I think they match or are able to match touchdown for touchdown. It just depends on the defense, and I think the Steelers right now are playing the best defense.
John, I'm going to appeal to your sensibilities. The Lions have the best offensive line in football. The second best is probably the Eagles. They're the number one rushing team in the NFL. You could play keep away. The yardage allowed on defense, number one in the NFL right now. I think it's the Eagles.
You know, I like your Steelers answer because I just can see that the Steelers make you play a game flow and dictate tempo and all that stuff. They can run a little bit, but I would be interested to see, could the Lions run on the Steelers, especially with 2 weeks of preparation? Because we're talking Super Bowl if it's the Steelers.
Right, yeah, and they have found a little bit of, I'm not a big Russell Wilson fan, but they have found a little magic with him.
Yeah, all right. We have a powerhouse slate of games in Week 15. The two showcase games at 4:25 are the Lions hosting the Bills and the Eagles hosting the Steelers. Meanwhile, the Seahawks host the Packers on Sunday Night Football. If the NFL flexes its muscles, which game should they flex to Sunday night?
Well, I'm going to go with what Doug Karsh said yesterday. He predicted this. It will be Lions-Bills primetime Sunday night.
So I'm going to take a little liberty with this answer. I think two games get flexed. I think.
Ooh, look at this. Love it.
I think the Lions and Bills get flexed to Sunday night. And this is the first year it's a possibility. I think Steelers-Eagles gets moved to Monday night. Now, this is going to be one that is rarely used, but I think it's flexed to Monday night. They have a 12-day window where they can flex this to Monday night, and they are going to take into account the fan base. If they wanted to put Lions and Bills on Monday night, that's a big shift for the Bills fan base to go from a Sunday game to a Monday game. Not as much for two teams in the same state, for Philly and Pittsburgh.
We
got airplanes. I mean, I don't think that's that big a deal.
No, I'm talking about the fan base.
Are they taking trains, Tony?
No, you're talking about, okay, instead of...
Well, Pennsylvania, they can use the Amish horses, right?
Right.
John, we're just messing.
Yeah.
Seriously. Even Greg's giving a look.
Well, it's the drive-to game. If you had, Greg, if you're coming into town for the Bills...
The drive from Buffalo to Detroit, I would imagine, is shorter than Pennsylvania to Phil, or Pittsburgh to Philadelphia, or vice versa.
I'll have to do the math on that one. You have experience in Buffalo. I'm not going to debate that one.
I think maybe Buffalo's slightly longer drive because of the lakes.
Yeah,
I've done the drive to Philly through Pittsburgh. You know,
I've got it.
Oh gosh!
Breaking news: 5-hour drive from Philly to Pittsburgh. 4 hours and 8 minutes a drive from Detroit to Buffalo.
Huh. Greg, is Greg ever wrong when it
Never
comes to
wrong.
Facts?
No.
Factually, I don't think he makes a mistake.
Yeah, he has family in Buffalo, so he's done that one.
Family. The Cowboys are 3-7, have not won a home game this season. They'll likely move on from Mike McCarthy, who is in his final year of his contract, so he's in limbo. What are the chances that Coach Prime coaches the Cowboys next season?
Slim to none. I think if he's offered, he probably takes it. I don't know if Jerry Jones does that, but I also don't know what happens in the draft. If he wants to coach Shadur in the NFL, who gets the number one overall pick? Because they could be picking in the top five, but with, 9 teams with either 2 wins or 3 wins, I mean, they could still be down 9, 10, even 11.
former Cowboy. Jerry Jones loves star players. Here's what Michael Irvin had to say with Colin Cowherd.
The question is going to be, how do you, I mean, the timing. Coaches are hired before the draft happens.
Sounds like some orchestrating may be happening behind the scenes already. I'll give it more than a slim chance. That is the Thursday touchdown. Always a sideshow in Dallas. It's 97.1.
When it comes to an IRS collection or audit, you need a law firm that specializes in the resolution of all types of tax problems. And when dealing with the world's largest civil law enforcement agency, your case could take a lot of twists and turns. Your first call should be to an experienced law firm like Abraham & Rose. They're prepared to advocate on your behalf, no matter if it's civil or criminal, or even the Michigan Department of Treasury. Whether personal income tax or business payroll taxes, you're going to need a real team of local lawyers, not some tax organization with a random individual you're never going to meet. Visit AbrahamandRose.com today or call 248-539-5040 so you never personally have to deal with the IRS.
Got some ticket techs from the first hour of the show. We've got some Lions stuff to get into as well. Two Grand Slam, $725, a chance to win $2,000. Ticket Texter says, the Lions have two more wins in the state of Texas than the Cowboys have all season. True story. Love that. This one says, if Deion goes to Dallas, how will they draft his son? They have Dak. They just paid him. Isn't that a pain to try to move that contract?
Well, how long was the contract? Because Shadur will be on a rookie deal.
Yeah, but you think Deion's taking the job in this hypothetical, is taking the job in Dallas and benching his son for multiple seasons for Dak? Like, you're begging for some...
Oh, no, it doesn't mean he has to play Dak.
Oh, okay, I get what you're saying.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, you might have the most high-priced backup
in the league.
But I just don't see... There's too many things that have to happen.
Do you think McCarthy would take the Jets' job if he was fired in Dallas, reunite with that sociopath or psychopath, as others person says it?
No,
I don't think so either.
No.
John, you're right in the Thursday touchdown. The Super Bowl matchup this year will be Bills and Lions. Go Lions.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the most likely.
Ben Johnson is the Bengals' next coach. Book it, Dubs. So I thought about
Zach
the Bengals.
Taylor is going to be fired because the Bengals... I mean, remember, was it Marvin Lewis?
Yeah, he got forever.
Was there forever. I think they're as patient with coaches as you're ever going to find.
It's also kind of a secret mess. The ownership's really cheap. Chase hasn't gotten an extension. Higgins hasn't gotten an extension. Do you have the facilities, the resources, the things that coaches care about behind the scenes to help you be as successful as you can be? Ben Johnson will be choosy. I don't think the Bengals are this well-run organization. They have Joe Burrow, which is why this person texts this in, but I think all the other stuff matters too.
And when you're thinking about taking a job, and Ben Johnson has been very selective, as we found out over the last 2 years. Now, I don't know how realistic it was after the 22 season that he was or wasn't going to take the Carolina job, but I think there's clear reasons, and I think he probably saw that, good for him of seeing it, that there were going to be ownership or general manager issues. How much, having turned that one down, would he even look at Jacksonville, even though it would be enticing to have a quarterback with the skill set of Trevor Lawrence?
Texter says, Frank the Tank here, no way Ben Johnson would go to Chicago. Says AG to the Jets, Ben Johnson will also go to the AFC.
I think there's a lot of stuff that has come out this past week, and it's kind of leaked out a little bit over the past year in regards to Woody Johnson and him meddling with the roster, with coaching decisions on who plays, especially with, I mean, what are we going to hear from Aaron Rodgers in this? They're on the bye, I think, this week in regards to the report that Woody Johnson floated the idea of benching Aaron Rodgers.
Sure, that'll go over well.
Yeah. I mean, so if that's all going on and that's common knowledge now, and coaches
not a
talk
job
around
you want to
the,
take.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be shocked if Ben Johnson took the Jets job based on everything that's going on there. I just never, ever would see that. Yeah, I think the Raiders are going to really come after him because I think Tom Brady's going to be involved in the process in terms of at least advising.
But what do we make of that job?
He adores Ben Johnson. Okay. You can tell that after the broadcast. Like, like everything he said about the Lions, like you, it almost sounds like Tom Brady wants to come play for the Lions. That's the way, because he's like envious of how they are functioning.
One other ticket text. No turkey, ketchup on mashed potatoes. Heather eats like a 5-year-old.
I do. I eat like a child. I know it.
Yes, with Sour Patch Kids, gummy
sure,
treats.
For my dessert. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes.
Can I give you every year a job opens that people don't see coming.
Right.
Almost sure. All the time.
Yeah.
Let me give you a wild card.
Please.
The Ravens.
Why? They fire him?
No.
He walks away.
Yes. It would be if he decided, if it doesn't come to fruition this year, and it just can't get it to happen with Lamar. He's 62. Okay.
You know what he could do? He could move out to California, hang out with his brother.
Coach special teams. Go back to his roots.
Maybe not even an official capacity. Just hang around the team. Right?
Yeah. I don't know. I just said, you know. I don't see it, but I can appreciate
being creative with it.
So I was wondering, okay, of the sneaky jobs that might come available, ones that we don't necessarily think would be open, who would that be? And if Philly falls apart again, like they did last year, I think Nick Sirianni is kind of already on the warm seat, even though they're 8-2. I think that could be one where the conversations behind, you know, all the backdoor conversations. Would Philly make that decision to fire their coach only if they knew they could get Ben Johnson?
Yeah, and again, you got to be careful because Ben Johnson last year was thought to be taking jobs and didn't take jobs. So you'd have to vet it. But I think that's an ideal spot for him. You have a young quarterback that you can mold behind one of the best offensive lines in football.
With a rushing attack.
Sound familiar?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and again, that fan base is maniacal, but it's a really good football team. And if you want to step into an organization with a good general manager, Howie Roseman, a good reputation for drafting and developing and stocking that team, Jeffrey Lurie, the owner, good reputation in the league. That's really interesting. The other one we got on ticket text was, is this the year Andy Reid retires? Maybe they go out with a three-peat. We hope not. But they go on another run, and he says, all right, time to step away. And then you have a chance to coach Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Is there anything that would infuriate Lions fans more than losing Ben Johnson to the Kansas City Chiefs?
Potentially losing to Kansas City in the Super Bowl and then losing Ben Johnson to Kansas City.
Well, they're likely going to play them next year. That's going to be the crossover game. The one extra AFC game is against the AFC West champion. If you win the North, how interesting would that be? And I believe it would be at Kansas City again. I looked that up the other day. I'm a loser.
But here's the one thing that I think we all are curious about. What has been keeping Ben Johnson here? Why hasn't he taken jobs? I don't think it has anything to do with, you know, some people will say, like Eric Bieniemy, right? He wasn't offered jobs, but people were talking about, oh, well, maybe he's hard to deal with or his abrasive personality. Ben Johnson, coordinators are making more money now than ever before. They're being appreciated inside their organizations more than ever before. Is there just another, we're just going to keep paying him a little bit more and a little bit more
sure.
to keep him here? And he's like, you know what? I don't need to be the head guy. It'd be a rare trait. I don't need to be the head guy. If I can keep winning here, people can keep talking about me in favorable terms. And if anything goes wrong, Dan Campbell's the first one to take the bullet.
We got phone calls, we got ticket texts, and yeah, we'll keep talking about this coaching situation. Ben Johnson has clearly piqued your interest. We will also talk about Dan Campbell, Coach of the Year candidacy. It came up in the Thursday touchdown. Want to explore that more. It's 97.1.